Another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. Tonight's guest, we have David Welch, who is the producer of Peaceful Warrior, and John Rotz, who is the publicist and founder of Visioneering Group, LLC, amongst many other things, co-founder, president of Awaken Media, producer, Inspiration Film Festival, managing editor of Visioneering News Service, founder and CEO, New Thought Cinema Network, founder and CEO of Visioneering Entertainment. And wow, that's quite a bit of things you have going on in your life, your career, John.
Indeed.
Yes. So, and David, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, great. I can barely hear, but I'm glad to know that you're there. So, what we want to talk about tonight is the 20-year journey to get Peaceful Warrior into the theaters and on the screens and out of your heart, David. And I would like to focus on how you and John found each other and the journey that took you to where we are today, which is with Peaceful Warrior doing very well in the theaters and making a lot of difference in the world, and would like to know if it turned out the way you wanted it to.
Yes. As far as the movie, I think we made an excellent movie. I'm very happy with it. The evolution for me was is that I had a Socrates in my life who worked as an osteopath, and almost 23 years ago, I walked in for my appointment, and he had a stack of Peaceful Warrior books there, and he grabbed one of them, and he shoved it in my hands, and he said, "Here, read this." So I went home that night, and I started reading, and I just couldn't put the book down. It talked to me. It was me. I was this guy, Dan Millman. I was a gymnast. I was on this spiritual path. I had a Socrates in my life that was just as odd and magical as the Socrates in the Peaceful Warrior book. Mm-hmm. And when I read the book, what it said to me was, this is a book about us. This is a book about the human condition. This is a book about our possibilities, who and what we are, because it addresses us not only as a flesh and blood body existing in space and time, but it also addresses us as a spirit, as a soul, an eternal soul that exists beyond space and time, and that the real truth is found when we go inside of ourselves. And that's what attracted me to this book, and that's why I wanted to make a movie of this book.
Wow, it must have had a powerful impact on you to set about doing what you did and bringing to the theaters this wonderful piece of work written by Dan Millman. And I'm just so impressed with it. I was at the premiere, as you know, with you and John, and I just felt the whole audience, the whole energy shifted. After the film was over, nobody was the same. And, you know, the same impact the book had, I believe you captured that big time in the movie.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, that was our goal.
Yeah, you reached it. And, you know, I recommend that everybody, you know, run, don't walk to the nearest theater that is carrying Peaceful Warrior. And what would you recommend our listeners do?
Well, I would recommend that they log on to our website, thepeacefulwarriormovie.com. Make sure you have the V in front of it. Thepeacefulwarriormovie.com, all one word. And then just click on theaters, and it'll tell you what theaters, and then you can actually get a link right to the theater and get a map, and it shows every single theater that we're in right now across the United States and Canada and over in Hawaii.
That's wonderful. That's great. That solves it for everyone. I mean, everybody's got a computer. I mean, well, mostly everybody. So John, mm-hmm. At what point did you come into the process?
Well, of course, much later than David.
Right.
I actually didn't become involved with the film till I believe it was around late August, just about a year ago this time. I started having initial conversations with the production company, Sobeany Productions.
Right.
And then it was probably a couple of months later, I guess maybe in October, November, when we started actively doing work on the film.
Right.
So, yeah, just about a year ago.
Wonderful. And would you mind telling us and the listeners what some other clients you have, who they are, who the living luminaries are that you are working with these days?
Sure. Well, we work with a variety of clients, not only from the film side of things, but also authors, publishers, musicians, record labels, events, issues, and so forth. The thing that unites all of them, or that all of them have in common, is the commitment to spiritual transformation of themselves and the world. So
wow.
Every single project that we've ever taken on in our 20-year history has been, you know, involved with that mission.
Yes.
So currently we work with Eckhart Tolle, who is the author of The Power of Now.
Yes.
We are actually working on bringing Eckhart's work, his teachings, to the big screen now.
How exciting.
And we are working with Guy Ritchie and Madonna on a couple of films related to Kabbalah.
Great.
And we are working, of course, still doing work on Peaceful Warrior. And we also represent a number of books ranging from Michael Ozier's Law of Attraction to The 100-Year Lie by Randall Fitzgerald, which is a book about how food and medicine are destroying us in their present state. And many, many others. We've represented, just since this is about spiritual entertainment, this particular show, we've represented films like Mind Walk, which is a film based on the work of Fritjof Capra and the Tao of Physics, and a film called Baraka, which probably many of your listeners have seen. It's kind of a cult-type film now that is just an extraordinary visual documentary of the sacred and profane, and many others.
Wonderful. Well, I'd like to just tell the listeners, too, that your company, Visionary Group LLC, is a progressive public relations agency linking spirit, vision, and values with media, marketing, and management to promote a positive future.
Yes.
So nicely said, and you are so completely doing that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think that's amazing, and I can't wait to bring my own projects to you and launch them. I mean, I wouldn't go anywhere else. When you got together with Dan Millman, David, what was that process like in getting him to agree to let you make a movie with his book, his book?
It was a serendipitous process, which is the way this whole thing has been from its conception.
Right.
It so happened that my mother was best friends with Hal Kramer, who was Dan's publisher.
Uh-huh.
And so when I read the Peaceful Warrior book, at the time I was working with Hal Ashby, and we had just got done shooting Being There with Peter Sellers and Shirley MacLaine, and I had done most of the casting on that movie. And when I read the book, I realized that I wanted to be a filmmaker. At the time, I was just, you know, I was a production assistant. I was Hal Ashby's personal assistant. I was one of the casting directors on Being There. But, you know, I wasn't a producer. And so when I got the project, I took it to Hal, and I said, Hal, you know, please read this. He read it, and I said, look, if I can get this, will you direct it? And he said, absolutely. So it took me 5 years to actually get control of the project. I called up Hal Kramer, the publisher, and then I got to Dan Millman, and I started, I was working with Tony Robbins at the time, so I started establishing rapport with him and bonding with him, and I spent a year talking with him on the phone. At that time, he decided he wanted to, you know, kind of do it himself. Mm-hmm. And then about almost 4 years later, he calls me up and says, look, I'm going to sell this. So it became a bidding war, and Columbia Pictures, he calls me up and he says, David, he says, you know, I really love you. I really trust you. I know you'd make a fantastic movie. But, and I went, oh, God. Columbia Pictures has really given me this incredible offer, and you know, it's just you know, it's just a magnificent offer. And then there was this long silence, and I was waiting for the second shoe to drop, and he says, but I'll tell you what, if you'll meet Columbia's offer, I'll go with you.
Wonderful.
And I said, I'll meet it. He says, well, you don't know what it is. I said, I don't care what it is. I'll meet whatever the offer is. I want to do this book, Peaceful Warrior. I want my life focused on this. This is the picture that I want to make. You know, if I'm going to spend years at the time, you know, I thought, gee, you know, in years, and within 2 or 3 years, we'll make this picture. Well, it was really 18 years later after after getting the contract. But, you know, I was so in love with this, and I so wanted to make this film that it just became an obsession with me. And you really need to be, as a producer, you really need to have that obsessive quality where you're going to do whatever it takes to get this thing made. And, you know, I had hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands of maybes and no's and possibilities. And I think maybe we will. And then it didn't work out. And, you know, until finally it just all gelled. And basically I really feel that the universe just said this movie must be made. And it just all of a sudden every little piece started falling in place. All of a sudden, we got Victor Salva involved, who's this incredible filmmaker who is a really good writer. And he took our script and elevated it from what I would say is a 7 to like an 8.5 and just made, you know, an incredibly good script. And then we had lucky casting. You know, when you first get the book, for 23 years, all sorts of fantasies go through your mind, you know, Sean Connery and, you know, who could play Socrates, who could play Dan.
Right.
But then all of a sudden you come up to, hey, we're shooting February 12th. Now, who's available who can start shooting on February 12th? And who will fit into our budget?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we had a lot of possibilities. We were working with Anthony Hopkins and you know, we were getting ready to make a decision. And Nick Nolte had not been available. He had a film that he was doing, and he was on our not available list.
Mm.
Well, the agent called up and said, hey, guess what? The film fell through, and Nick is available. So at that time, we thought, well, gee, let's go check Nick out before we make a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And our director went out and had a meeting with Nick. It was supposed to be an hour meeting, and 5 hours later he came back, and he said, look, we have to have Nick Nolte.
Right.
Play this part. And at the same time, Nick Nolte said, hey, look, I have to play this part. I want to be Socrates. This is a movie I really want to do. And, you know, so his agents came with a very high figure, and we said, well, gee, we don't have that much. And anyway, Nick Nolte said he'll do whatever it takes to, well, he will do whatever it takes, but he didn't mean his salary. And we said, oh, I think he did mean his salary. And so we ended up getting him for a very reasonable price, and because his heart was in to do this movie. And it just turned out fantastic. I couldn't imagine us casting somebody better than Nick Nolte as Socrates. He's a grounded sage. This movie could have been preachy. It could have been didactic. It could have been hokey. But because of the way it was written, and because we have a need in Dan that's written in, and then Socrates, when he says the truth to Dan, he says it in such a matter-of-fact way, he just kind of throws it away like it's not that important. And,
right.
You know, I believe really, it's a combination of things, but one of the most important things, I think, was Nick Nolte.
He really grounded the film.
I'm sorry?
He really grounded it, I feel.
Absolutely.
He made it so absolutely believable. I mean, here's this mechanic in a gas station, and I can't imagine either any other person playing that role and making the movie the way it was made. It would be a different movie if you had someone else for Socrates.
Oh, absolutely. We were almost going to go with Donald Sutherland, but who I think would have been like, he would have put his napkin out there, you know, his and then he would have set all of his little tools on there really in a perfect,
yes.
You know, and he would, you know, but that's a different, it would have been a whole different movie. I'm so...
Yes.
So happy. That
yes,
we ended
and
up with
Nick. I think the way Nick did it really put a lot of focus on Dan.
Absolutely.
Because if Donald Sutherland was putting his napkin and his tools out there and shining them up, it would have been about the tools instead of the lesson.
Right, and so, we because Victor actually wrote a lot of Sock's dialogue for Dan to say. So
right.
Dan came up with realizations, and then he would say what he came up with. So. There was excellent writing going on. Scott Meklowitz was just fantastic as Dan.
Yes, he was. So tell me about this running energy that you did, David, and how that applied to everybody and everything, including John.
Well,
feel free to add anything, John.
Okay. Okay, so basically I feel that a producer's job is multifaceted. And, of course, his job is to put the team together and to really, you know, make sure that everybody in the team is feeling good and knows what they're doing and is supported. And if there's any upset or anything, any problem, you go over there and work with them. And but I also think that a producer's job is to run energy in the sense that everything is energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so I had been working with Jane Lee Salmon, who was Carlos Castaneda's last apprentice, and she had taught me how to run energy. And I would run energy and create an energy field. So every night I would go home and I would sit and I would run an energy field and I would run it around the whole entire movie. Or I would run it around particular people or particular, things that need to be handled within the movie, and
right.
I would run the energy around that.
Could you describe a little bit, David, if you don't mind, what running energy is like? Is that sort of a meditation process where you focus on the issue at hand, run energy to that, you know, as you need to?
Okay, well, the specific running energy is you intend and you bring 85% of the energy down through your crown chakra from the infinite clear white light.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring it down through the back of your head, through the back of your neck, through your upper back, middle back, lower back. And then you run it through your lowest chakra and then you run it up your front, up through your throat, up through your face and out the top of your crown chakra again, 3 feet above your head.
Mm-hmm.
And then you spin it in two directions. So it forms a cocoon around you. And it actually literally goes about 3 feet below your feet.
Mm.
Now, 15% of the energy comes from finiteness, comes from being grounded, comes from the earth, comes
mm-hmm.
from the darkness, and comes from form, comes from finiteness. And you bring that up through your right leg, through your lowest chakra, and back out your left leg. When you start this meditation, the first thing you do is send an anchor from your lowest chakra down to the center of the earth, and you anchor yourself to the earth. And you place your feet flat on the earth, on the ground, barefoot. And you run this 15% through your legs, and you run this 85%. And to me, I feel like an interface between the infinite and between the finite. I feel like I'm bringing up experience up from the earth, up from the ground, and I'm bringing it up. And as this white light goes through my lower chakra, it picks up this experience and it takes it up to God, if you will, or the goddess.
Yes.
And you can take this field and you can run it around yourself, or you can run it around a project, or you can run it around people. And basically, it was my way of tapping into the infinite.
Yes.
Because I grew up working with Tony, and because I was a person who could focus and be congruent, and I was very male in a very positive way, to make things happen, and I was very good at getting this project to get almost to the point of happening, but I really had an experience where I had to let go and actually bond with my inner female, and my inner female is the universe, is one who just opens up and allows the universe to let it happen. So I really had to kind of get out of my male energy way and get into my feminine and to allow this project to happen. And I really feel that it was that combination of male energy which got it going, but it was really the truth of it. What really got it to happen was letting go into the universe and allowing the universe to birth this project.
Absolutely beautifully said. Wow. I'm taking notes. I can think of all kinds of things to do that for in my daily life. That's amazing. Wow. That's great. Do you do practices like that as well, John?
Mine are a little different.
Mm-hmm.
These days, my primary practice revolves around meditation. I've been a meditation teacher for the last 30 years, and I've been practicing since I was 17. So my primary practice really is meditation or practicing presence.
Wonderful.
So I don't really do those kinds of visualizations, you know, as a part of my daily routine.
Right. Well, everybody has their own fingerprint of what works for them specifically, and anybody knows, you know, what's true for them is their truth. And
exactly.
worked for you, and I'm sure if you had people that you worked with to help them learn to meditate, that they would find their own way to also access the infinite.
Indeed.
And you know, it's all about freedom, and it's all about expression, and it's all about truth, and what that is different for all of us, so that's terrific.
Yeah.
I did not know that about you. Would you like to tell the listeners what your website is?
The website for the Visioneering Group is tvgpr.com.
Okay,
want to say
that one
more time?
Is there another one, too, that you would like to give them?
That's the main one, actually.
Okay, and will we find a bio on there for you?
Yes, there is a bio there.
Great.
Yeah.
I can't wait to read that. I don't think I've read that yet.
Okay.
So with your part in Peaceful Warrior, John, mm-hmm. what was the most white-knuckle moment that project, if there was any?
That's a good question. I think... I don't believe that I would characterize the experience as white knuckle, but as with any film project, there are always situations, circumstances that come up during the process of, if you will, birthing the film in the world as opposed to simply creating the film,
mm-hmm.
That are just, you know, challenging. And it could be due to, honestly, it could be due to anything from internal politics to business, business practices that, you know, may not be perfectly aligned with the intention of the film. It can be, you know, it can be personal dynamics. It can be a range of situations that come up. And, of course, you would expect that because anytime you have a group of creative, highly creative individuals working together on a media project that is, you know, being birthed into the world, you can imagine that, you know, everything comes up. There can be, you know, ego dynamics, anger, compassion, hate, love, fear, hope. You pretty much run through the entire spectrum of emotions when you're really, you know, involved with a film because your commitment. You know, I think every single person, certainly the filmmakers and every single person who is connected with the marketing of the film, the whole marketing team, I think probably without exception would, you know, candidly tell you that, yeah, there are always challenges working with other people and accepting, you know, ideas that may be a little bit foreign to you or, you know, being a team player. All of those kinds of dynamics come up. So it's sort of like being in a romantic relationship in a way.
Right.
You know.
And what I'm hearing you say is every dynamic in the film was brought into the making of the film and injected into the film, which is what makes the film so good. I mean, you take away any part of that and you've got less of a film. Does that make sense?
I think there's some truth to that. I think, you know, the film turned out as beautifully as it did because, you know, the filmmakers themselves embodied a lot of what the film is about, essentially speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And while I wasn't on set, I've heard plenty of stories. And, you know, the making of the film was truly a transformational workshop that went on for a long time. So I'm sure that some of that consciousness, if you will, got imbued into the film. And I think that's why it's as powerful in terms of being an expression of human dynamics as it is.
And
yeah,
I
absolutely
couldn't agree with you more from what I witnessed when I watched the film, and I'll see it as many times as I can, is while a person is going through their own transformational process, while they're creating another transformational process, that is a bringing together of energies that can't help but equal transformational process to anybody who watches it. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
So that's a beautiful thing. And that's why Spiritual Hollywood is such an exciting radio show to be a part of, because to bring forth people like you and David and Dan Millman's work and Peaceful Warrior and all of the great things that are coming about, because there is a momentum that's taking place that cannot be stopped. There's a hunger for consciousness in the world, and your company and David and so many others like you are providing a feeding ground for the hunger that's taking place, and it's only giving us exponential consciousness moving transformation that we so desperately need,
yeah.
And doing it quite effectively, and by doing it through film, I can't think of a more wonderful way to honor transformation.
Yeah, theater is clearly becoming a transformational temple.
Definitely.
And, you know, there are many, many individuals, such as you and your co-host Amanda and the Institute for Spiritual Entertainment and Stephen Simon and his crew at Spiritual Cinema Circle,
mm-hmm.
and all of the people who are working to legitimize so-called transformational cinema. It's quite a group of people that is emerging and all, you know, joining together in various ways to promote transformational cinema.
Yes, and I believe, too, that everyone you just mentioned are very much in touch with their purpose.
Yes, very much.
And when you're in touch with your purpose, nothing can stop you. It does become, like David said, an obsession to get this film made, to get this project done, whatever it may be. James Redfield, the author of Celestine Prophecy, held a global prayer call 2 weeks ago towards the Middle East, and also to cause our world leaders to come from their highest best wisdom when making their decisions, because that's what's affecting our world as well. And I was on that call. I had my phone on speakerphone, and I could not hold my phone. It was so hot from the energy, and there were people, there were thousands of people from all over the world. It was the most amazing, incredible experience, and we all meditated for an hour towards the Middle East. And don't you know, wasn't long after that, we heard there was going to be a ceasefire.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Yay.
Yeah.
And that's not an accident. That's energy.
Yes, indeed.
That's powerful. And then we did it again on August 15th. So it's none of that. Anytime you aim conscious thought, intention, energy at anything, it makes a difference. So if we were all present to or thought that every thought we had in our mind was a prayer waiting to be answered, we'd be a whole lot more careful what we thought about, I believe.
Amen.
So also, John, I wanted to ask you a question. You had a brilliant insight about actors, and David, feel free to join in on this if you think of anything. But we were talking recently about how an actor, and we do have a lot of actors listening this evening, and I'm sure they would find it very valuable to hear a little bit from either of you or both of you on this. In your experience with working with actors, have you noticed that when people are becoming successful, when they are just about to step into a new level of consciousness, that you find resistance around that, that is unexplainable and would cause others to sort of scratch their head and say, what? Why wouldn't you want to do this wonderful thing? That the actor is in a lot of cases confronted by this big step, this success thing, this thing that they'll have to be now responsible for and accountable for to complete or to be a part of. I mean, is this making sense? Do you recall our conversation?
I do. And I would also extend it. Certainly this can apply to actors and actresses, but I think it can actually apply to anyone who is approaching breakthrough.
Well, that is the spiritual path, right? Isn't it? The closer you get to your goal, the more, you know, almost the harder and the bigger obstacles come up to you. You know, just sort of like to thwart you, like, okay, are you gonna be able to get beyond this challenge?
Right. Yes. And it just, you know, and I was told recently by the wonderful Dr. Harry Morgan Moses that I have a gift for bringing the meta to the physical, meaning that I take the ethereal and bring it to the physical. And when I do that with a client who isn't ready to have what they've asked me to do for them to be manifest, that they will actually run away with their hair on fire saying, oh my God, I'm not ready. And the best thing to acknowledge in a situation like that would be how wonderful that they know that. How wonderful that they know they're not ready. And what would you suggest for a situation like that for to coach the actor? If you were going to coach somebody, John, let's say for you, what would you say to them if you found that happening? Because you used to be a manager.
Yeah.
And you've had all kinds of experiences, as I have.
Mm-hmm.
How would you coach your client around that?
Delicately.
Yes.
I think that you have to look at that kind of a dynamic on a case by case basis.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you can adopt a one size fits all principle for that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody brings their material, whatever that material is, the light and the shadow side of things.
Right.
Everyone brings different kinds of material. So it depends. But the bottom line, I mean, at least in my opinion and from what I've seen, and I was a manager for about 15 years, I noticed that kind of at the root of that experience was fear. And I'm sure everybody's heard the acronym FEAR, that stands for false evidence appearing real.
Right.
I think that many times when we are about to, jump, if you will, to a new level of organization or of orderliness in our own lives, a new expression of consciousness,
mm-hmm.
that jump to light speed, if you will, catalyzes a whole constellation of psychophysiological changes in ourselves that raise up that material, especially the shadow material that needs to be looked at, it needs to be embraced, it needs to be worked with. And it's largely an internal journey, and I think that a person such as a manager, a coach, a guide, a teacher can really be most helpful in terms of being a mirror to you and helping you see that. But as far as navigating it, it's in my opinion, it's largely an internal journey, because there's nothing that any of us can really do to change anybody else. Change is completely a function of your internal experience.
Nicely put. Very, very nicely put. That's very insightful. I'm sure that the listeners will, I'm sure they're taking notes. David, have you had any interesting experiences like that in your casting, when you wore your casting director hat?
Well, I actually did most of the casting on Being There with Hal Ashby, and I really honored Hal, because Hal was a director who honors actors. He is somebody who hires actors to do something for him, to create something for him. I mean, the best acting is creating. The actor has created something. He's created a character. He's created emotions, feelings. He's created context. He's created backstory. He's created. We were shooting Coming Home, and it was John Voight, and it was actually Jane Fonda's project, and she had brought it to Hal, and it was her script. And shot for the first day, Hal invited everybody in. He walked up and he grabs John Voight's script, and he goes over to Jane and he says, "May I see your script?" He grabs her script. He walks back over to his seat, and as he's going, he throws both of the scripts into the trash can. Jane jumps up out of her seat. "Hal, what are you doing? What are you doing?" And Hal said, "The way John Voight is playing this movie, the way the performances he gave today, that is the movie we have to shoot." And he points at the trash can, "Not that script over there."
Wow.
And then Jane says, "Well, wait, but how? Blah, 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 blah." You know, John Voight's character was more like Bruce Dern's character in the original script. But Hal believes in his actors, and he believes, he gives you a chance to produce. He hires you, and then he gives you a chance to produce. And then if you produce something, he goes with it. And I just, you know, I want all actors to really realize how essential they are to any project and how they need to believe in themselves. And that belief in themselves and that knowingness of themselves, I mean, what is an actor's job other than to learn who they are at the deepest levels and to be able to be in contact with themselves at the deepest levels? And there's levels, you know, and that's what's important about being an actor and believing yourself. And when you get with a director like Hal, Hal honors that, and Hal wants to see what you have and what you have to offer to him. And I just think that, you know, that experience just really impacted me for so long that, you know, that Hal would see in an actor and see a whole different movie. I mean, you got to. I mean, we had $15 million to shoot Jane Fonda's movie. The people had signed off on it, the money people, the studio, everything. And Hal was so in the moment and so trusting and so believing in a person's ability to create something magical and meaningful that he took that script and threw it away. And I just think that's something that every actor and every writer and everybody should just really. Really honor and know the truth about
and emulate. That's wonderful. So and it, the outcome was a beautiful thing.
Well, the outcome was 9 Academy Awards.
Right.
The outcome was John Voight won an Academy Award, Jane Fonda won an Academy Award, Best Picture Academy Award. You know, that was the result of Hal trusting in. And John trusting in himself. In other words, he came in and brought something different than was in the script, and he played something different. Mm-hmm. But it was so real and it was so meaningful that the whole movie changed just around that performance.
Right, and that's what happens when people trust themselves. And, you know, as a manager, that's what I say to my clients every single day is trust yourself. Trust yourself. Get quiet. And trust yourself. Trust your instincts. If you second guess yourself, then it's no longer from source. But as long as you go with your gut instinct and your personal truth, then you're connected to source. And when you're connected to source, you can do anything. And you can do things like what Hal did.
Absolutely.
And what John did and Jane and you know, what you guys have done with Peaceful Warrior and what you'll continue to do. What's on the horizon for both of you, speaking of what you'll continue to do?
Mm-hmm. Well, both John and I, our mission in life is to help transform the planet,
yeah.
To help raise the consciousness of the planet.
Great.
And our method is media.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have just really bonded in... Let's get into the marriage thing. Say, fell in love with each other because we see each other as complementary, and we know now what the whole package is. You know, you have to raise money. You have to, you know, you have to get some kind of a project. You have to, you know, you have to make a movie, but now you also have to market that movie, and you also have to make sure it gets out to the people, because this is, you know, we're working with movies that have messages. Now, the problem with message movies is if it gets too heavy with the message, then it falls on its face.
Right.
And it has to be, a message movie has to be made in the context of something of value that people want to come see and be entertained by. And
like gymnastics.
That's what we did with Peaceful Warrior. And John and I have picked a couple of projects that we're going to work on. One is The Power of Now with Eckhart Tolle. And we're in the process of working with him right now to develop that. So it'll basically be a Peaceful Warrior at a much deeper level.
The Peaceful Warrior
deals with now and being here now and being in the present and
yeah.
going inside with your beingness. But we were only able to go so far with this first movie, and now we want to go much deeper with our next movie. And we also have a science fiction movie that we want to do with another Victor Salva movie, which has these same themes but is a science fiction movie. And I'll let John continue on.
Yeah, the the film, the Eckhart Tolle film, will actually not be called The Power of Now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the title yet, but the way we're approaching that is, I've been working with Eckhart for the last 5 years, and about a year and a half ago or so, I planted the seed with him to do a film. And it's just now starting to come into being. And Eckhart is actually writing the story, because it's not going to be a documentary. It will be a feature film. And so Eckhart is in the process of writing the story, and I think I'm going to hear from him within the next week or so. He's going to read the story to me, and then, we'll kind of take it from there. But we're hoping to, once the story is completed, we're hoping to interest a particular screenwriter, someone like Charlie Kaufman, who wrote Being John Malkovich and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and Adaptation, because he would be quite a perfect writer for this particular expression. So we're actually going to be announcing, the first public, expression of this.
What an honor. Thank you.
But in mid-September, we're actually in the process of crafting a press release now that we'll be releasing in mid-September announcing this. And a lot of people in Hollywood have read The Power of Now and were influenced by it. And we know that once we put the word out there that we're doing this project, a lot of people will step forward and want to be a part of it, as they already have.
Yes. Well, my hand is raised really high because everything Eckhart's ever done, I've consumed it and completely digested it, and I can't wait to get more. So I'm thrilled to hear that you are doing this, and I cannot wait to see. I know it's going to be just absolutely stunning and mind-blowing and world-transforming.
And by the way, we probably have, 3, 4, 5 other films coming out between September and March, April of next year that I think are all quite interesting films. And to answer your question a little bit more, too, we've also created, and this may or may not be the name. At one time it was the New Thought Cinema Network, but it looks like now it will be the Visioneering Media Network. And the purpose is to create alternative distribution. Because not all films are capable of being shown in a theater. But there are a lot of good films that are being made that cannot get distribution, theatrical distribution, but they really should be seen by people.
Yeah.
So we're in the process of developing a network, a fairly extensive network of several thousand venues that are interested in showing films, and we're very excited about that prospect, because it gives an alternative to filmmakers beyond the studio distribution system.
That's such a wonderful thing, John. That really is. And I think the Spiritual Cinema Circle is attempting to do that with their DVD program.
Yes.
Which is wonderful. And I'm certainly a member, and I can't wait until I get my DVD each month. And it just keeps on giving. You just pop that on no matter what's going on in your life. You've got something rich and something wonderful to watch that brings you back to who you really are. And the fact that you and David have, partnered with one another to bring forth the same goal is so inspiring that I just don't have words to express how it makes me feel. But it's such a rich feeling that I feel so lucky to be alive during this time and be a part of it. And just amazed by the wonder of it all, every single moment, every single day. And
indeed. By the way, what we were talking about earlier about spiritual practices?
Yes.
Another practice that I think is very potent these days is the practice of gratitude, of gratefulness, of thanksgiving, of appreciation.
The gratitude rock.
Yeah.
David, there, tell you.
Yes.
You watch The Secret, and there's a gratitude rock.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And I think that's something that all of us need to do with one another and with people we don't know and with just life situations in general that it really magnetizes and brings about incredible transformation. And by the way, in case your listeners are interested, there will be a film opening on September 22nd in Los Angeles called Darshan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a film about Amichi, whom many people affectionately refer to as the Hugging Saint.
Oh.
And there will be a benefit premiere. I believe it will be on September 19th. And the money from that benefit premiere will go to AMA's various charities, of which there are many, from colleges and clinics and orphanages and what have you, and the rebuilding of some of the towns damaged by the tsunami.
Wow, thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah, I would encourage everybody to come and see this film because it's an incredible film.
Do you have a website for that, John?
Honestly, I don't think there is one yet. But if they Google the film Darshan, something will come up, and they can always go to the MA Center, you know, the MA Center. I think it's macenter.org. And there could be information on there about it, too.
Okay, and Darshan is spelled
D-A-R-S-H-A-N. And it's an incredibly lovely film about not just about AMA, but also India and the experience of being in India and transformation.
Wonderful. And before we go, I would like David to tell the listeners about the Gratitude Rock, because it's something that everybody can do right now and begin to do right now. So, David, would you mind?
Well, no, yes. A friend sent over a movie. It's kind of want the bleepish a little bit, and it's about the secret is that we get what we attract, we get what we focus on, what we think about, what we imagine, what we emotionally invest ourselves in, that's what manifests for it. And so it's suggesting that you need to live in abundance. You need to live in a place where you're thankful for the abundance that life is offering you. And one of their method is to have a small rock in your pocket. And every time you touch that rock, you express either verbally or as a meditation, gratitude for something. You know, gratitude for my son, gratitude for the, you know, fact that I have a great partner like John, gratitude for the fact that I was involved with such an incredible movie like Peaceful Warrior. And the purpose is to every single day to be expressing gratitude. And the rock helps to remind you so that every time you touch that rock, you go, oh, yes, and you express gratitude. And you do that as a meditation, not at home when you get home at night and you sit and you formally meditate, but a meditation that happens all day long, so that all day long you're expressing gratitude for your life.
Uninterrupted and spontaneous.
Hey, David, I think we should go out and find 5-pound rocks and put them on a chain and wear them around our neck. That should be our new corporate image.
I like it. So what you're saying, David, about that, it's all about the intention of having that rock in your pocket. The intention that it's for to remind you of gratitude gives it the power to transform your thoughts in that moment that you feel that rock in your pocket.
It's to take action. It's to be the warrior in the Peaceful Warrior. It's to take action and actually express that gratitude.
Yes. And every time you touch it, it reminds you to be spontaneously grateful.
Maybe you get on the phone and you call up your stepdad or your dad and you tell them how grateful you are for them.
Absolutely.
Maybe you call your son,
everybody,
your daughter. Maybe you call a friend. Or maybe you just have you just in your own mind a meditation of thanking, being grateful.
Yeah, send out a rocket of gratitude anywhere you want to aim it.
I think all of your listeners should go to their windows right now, open them, and scream out, I am grateful, just like in the movie Network. We're mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore.
Yes, but don't throw your TV out the window.
Exactly.
It might fall on somebody.
Although,
Yeah, go to the theater.
Yeah, amen.
No, we're going to be doing TV. And
okay.
I was thinking of starting a network myself, John, and calling it Authentic TV, All Good News, All the Time.
Lovely.
And make it funny. Make it light, make it cosmic comedy, make it something that people can't wait to watch. And I still want to do that. So I've just declared it to the universe, and there it is.
Kate, if you don't mind, I would like to just one more time, and I'll do it just as we end, too. The Peaceful Warrior website is thepeacefulwarriormovie.com. Make sure the V's in front of her, thepeacefulwarriormovie.com. And basically on that website, you'll find all sorts of testimonials by Eckhart Tolle and by Sting and Tony Robbins and Phil Jackson, people that have seen the movie and were moved by the movie and were willing to lend their name and some very positive statement. Also, you know, you can log on and you can, nominate your sister as a peaceful warrior and have her picture on the website. You know, you can write stuff onto the website, you know, what you felt about, and it's got, stories about the actors and about the filmmakers and information about where it's playing. And, it's a really neat interaction. So I really, would ask that all of your listeners, log on to thepeacefulwarriormovie.com website and there's a trailer there. If you haven't seen the movie yet, you'll see a really nice trailer that will kind of give you an idea of what the movie's about.
Absolutely. Wonderful.
And if Kate, if you don't mind, I'd like to also in a sense pay tribute to What the Bleep by mentioning how important that film was in really helping to open up the whole notion of transformational cinema. And I say it now because we just had Bleep Fest here in Los Angeles.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up. That was my next thing to bring up, too, before we left.
Yeah.
So how did Bleep Fest go?
Well, it was really, really wonderful. A lot of people, Elaine Hendricks, who was one of the actresses in What the Bleep, did an incredibly wonderful job of organizing it. Will and Betsy were there and gave wonderful presentations along with Fred Allen Wolf and some of the musicians from the film. And it was kind of in celebration for the release of the Down the Rabbit Hole box set.
Right.
It's a 3-disc double-sided DVD box set.
How many hours did it?
I think it's like 20 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Of additional material. Will Arntz edited it, and it's got a special feature called Quantum Mode, where you can put the DVD in and it will create a new film for you every time you watch it.
Wow.
Pretty innovative. And I just want to say that Will and Betsy and Mark, I worked with them literally every day for 2 years, and it was just one of the most transformational experiences in my life, and I think the entire transformational film community owes them gratitude for really opening the door in the ways that they have.
That's
absolutely
so amazing. I want to thank you, John, for putting together this wonderful company that you have.
Thanks.
And touching all the people that you touch and inspiring all the people that you inspire, including the people you work with. And I can clearly see that you and David inspire each other continuously.
We do.
And that's a fabulous partnership, and it shows. And I want to thank you both from the deepest part of my heart for being guests on our show tonight. This has been just such a great interview and a great show, and it's just amazing what you've both done and what you're going to continue to do, obviously, and I cannot wait to see what that is. So everybody listening, please check out these websites you were given tonight. I hope that you wrote them down. And keep watch for the Eckhart Tolle film that's forthcoming. And also want to give tribute to Amanda Robinson, who was unable to be on the call this evening because she had a previous engagement. But thank you, Amanda, for being my co-host. I know you're here in spirit. And my website is www.guardianangelmanagement.com, all spelled out, no spaces. And you can just get a sense of what I'm up to on that site. Feel free to write to me and give me feedback, give me ideas. It's not only welcomed, but it's encouraged. And would either of you like to say anything else, like a reminder of any websites that come to your mind, and just trust what's there and just say it? We have about 4 minutes.
David?
I'm going to say thepeacefulwarriormovie.com. Again, please log on to that and interact with it. It will give you a lot of good information, give you where the movie's playing.
Wonderful.
And mine is tvgpr.com. And we're happy to talk to anybody about transformational film or any kind of a transformational project for which they need PR and marketing support or distribution.
Absolutely. And I believe that any person out there listening who has a movie in your heart that will make a difference in the world, please don't give up on your dream. Please open yourself up and let that come out, and you will attract exactly the right people, and maybe a couple of them tonight on this call to help you bring that forth. Because, you know, once you find your purpose, there is no stopping you. It will all just show up. And when you're being of service, your physical needs are always provided for, absolutely undisputable every time.
Absolutely.
So keep that in mind and get your gratitude rocks, ladies and gentlemen, and go. Open your doors and windows and
don't even wait for the rock. Just start expressing gratitude.
Absolutely. I'm going to get a magic marker and write it all over everything.
And when you find that rock,
yes,
a lot of gratitude for that
yes.
rock.
I was also going to mention, you know, oftentimes after a screening of What the Bleep or Peaceful Warrior, people would come up and show their appreciation to us. And, you know, I just want to mention that you know, this process of giving birth to a new genre of media, of film, which
mm-hmm.
is called by various names, but we'll use the word transformational.
Okay.
You know, it's we're all in this together. And, you know, the filmmakers have a role and the marketers have a role and the viewers have a role, but it's the energy and the consciousness of everyone collectively focusing on this that is giving birth to this new genre of media. And we feel so strongly and that is so vital that everyone learn to use media to promote positivity and consciousness and compassion. And that's what we try to do every day. And we really want to encourage everybody, whether that media happens to be a book, or music, or a film, a poem, whatever it is, art, any type of media that you use to promote consciousness.
And another type of media, John, is conversation.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
What you think about, you bring about, and get really responsible and accountable for the thoughts that you're bringing forth and the words that you're saying and
beautiful.
What you're saying and feeling about each other.
Beautiful.
Because that is media also. And the book that I'm writing, The End of the Anonymous Actor, Changing Your Life Story Forever, will be filled with our living luminaries. Eckhart Tolle is one of my people to interview coming up, and I've interviewed Neil Donald Walsh, who gave the book its subtitle, which is the book's promise, Changing Your Life Story Forever. This book is designed and geared for touching and inspiring the actors who do these films to help them choose better roles for themselves and to trust that they will be led to the right projects and to help create that and get involved in writing and get involved in workshops where you talk about consciousness raising films and consciousness raising projects, even children's books. You can do amazing things even with a rock like David brought up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a gratitude rock would make a wonderful children's story. Get that story out of your heart, onto the page, onto the screen, and do it, because really, once you find your purpose, it will all show up. You can trust that. It happens every time. Absolutely. So get very mindful of what you're thinking about, because that is exactly what you're creating. And I want to thank you both. It's 7:00. That's our time.
Thank you.
And thank you so much. And thank you, Don Newsom and Doug Newsom and BBS Radio, for providing us with an outlet for such a wonderful program. And I'm looking forward to archiving this particular show so that anyone can hear it anytime they would like to, because I think there's just rich with information and spirit. So thank you, both of you, David Welch and John Rotz, for being my guests this evening.
Thank you, Kate.
I'll be talking to you both real soon.
Thanks, Kate.
Thank
and hello, Kavala. Had to throw that in there.
What was that?
I wanted to say hello to a friend. Her name is Kavala.
Hello, Kavala. And also hi to Christopher Ruiz.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, good night, and
good
thanks so much. See you next week.